The next one's an old grandma smiling and asking...
Old grandma.
Old.
She's old.
And going, how was the taste of an older woman?
How was the taste of an older woman?
Hayo Iwaku Moeyo Chaos from the anime Hayori Naruko-san by the artist Kana Asumi. This is episode 137 of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, where our sole mission is and always will be what, Mitsugi?
Make your anime addiction worse.
Thank you for your assist there. I am Chiaki, your hostess, and joined by the ever grumpy Church of Mitsugi, Hope.
I prefer handsome.
Okay. I am Chiaki, and I'm joined by the handsome Mitsugi.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That is better.
I'll aim to please this evening. You can find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes. Drop us a rating if you like us. Please give us a 4 or 5 stars, preferably 5.
A 5-star.
It's one whole hand. Think of everything you can do with one whole hand, and that's why we like 5 stars.
I don't give this song a 5-star.
Aww.
Very moe.
Facebook.com/AnimeAddictsAnonymousPodcast, YouTube.com/user/TheAAApodcast. If you want to watch all of our videos uploaded on YouTube, if you can't make the live shows, that's where they're going to be. Leave comments and share them with your friends. And if you can make the live videos, we broadcast live every Sunday night at 8 p.m. EST on ustream.tv/channel/anime-addicts-anonymous-podcast. But if you can remember aapodcast.com, you don't have to be breathless like I am right now, and you have all the links there. So, new forum members this week. As always, we start out with the clerical stuff. Welcome, Murasaki Tali, Raptor, and Flame Neko NEDM. And my name of the week is going to be Raptor.
Flame Neko? I don't know.
That's a good one.
I just picture a cat on fire. And, well, that would be a terrible noise.
That would be
a cat would be screaming horribly.
That cat would be very, very sad. Trivia. The answer was Miku from Akikan.
I think this one was harder.
Well, you know.
There were a lot of people who didn't get this.
Correct. It happens sometimes. It happens.
They can't all be easy.
Nope. Those who got it correct were Anal Bandit, Rip Menma, Friend, Scab, Tony Tiger 89, Evil Nick 06, Apocalypse 369, and Yasernti. And the winner for the week was Tony Tiger 89.
Yasernti is always a late entry.
As always. But, you know, you get it in, and that's what counts. That is what she said.
Yeah, we've now actually started to call the trivia submissions procrastination trivia.
Procrastination trivia. Birthdays. As Mitsugi cues up the birthday music, happy birthday coming this week to Coral 422, Sakura Angel, Mikia, Khaki Blue Socks, and Akasaka.
Akasaka!
Akasaka!
This is your birthday music, The Flying Boatman from Porco Rosso. Once again. It's very circus-esque.
I love the birthday music. I just enjoy it every single time. But that might be because I like wishing people happy birthdays. Moving on.
You just like spreading the joy.
I do like spreading joy. It is something which I genuinely enjoy doing and do to pass the time. We have an Almighty Anime mailbag, or the AAA mailbag. If you'd like to submit mailbags, you can head to our main page at aapodcast.com, and there is a tab in the pink bar called Mailbag. They get sent to me, we put them on our list, we get them to all of them eventually.
Eventually.
We just pluck them in no particular order.
And then eventually there's an overwhelming number of mailbags, and we just do a mailbag episode.
Yes. That also has been known to happen. Would you like to take the first one, Mitsugi?
I'd love to. Wolf Guy writes, power can not be gained without some type of sacrifice. We see it a lot with characters losing something about themselves in order to gain power, like losing their soul to become a vampire or a limb for ultimate knowledge. My question is, what would you sacrifice for power, and what power would it be? For me, it would be lycanthrope, but then again, they're perfect. Love Wolf Guy, which is funny because your name is Wolf Guy. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm sharp like that. I get it.
Like a whip.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd want. I guess some kind of telekinesis, or I think we've talked about superpowers we'd like before. So I'm gonna go with like telekinesis or something as the power that I'd want. But I don't know what I would want as far as like, or what I would sacrifice for it. I wouldn't sacrifice my sight. I guess I'd sacrifice a foot.
I'm just thinking of
they
like
good prosthetics now.
The irony of an anime where you'd have a character, you know, do anything to be able to see through women's clothing. And in the end the wish giver chooses the penalty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's granted the ability to see through women's clothing, and in the end, he has to give up his sexual prowess for it. How ironic.
Oh, man. I think what I'd rather do instead of necessarily, like, sacrificing something, I'd rather there, like, be, like, a cost associated, like, kind of, like, darker than black-esque, where, like, if I use my power, I have to do something after, or I have to, like, I don't know, like, without sounding emo, like, cut myself or something. Or, like, it automatically, like, using my power creates, like, lesions in my skin, and it's like, ah!
I'd like to be able to flex my pec muscles and make my shirt explode.
You're almost there on your own, Mitsugi.
And I would give a song and a dance for that.
You would give
a song and a dance.
On that note, our next mailbag comes from Soul Rogue.
I think the power you get the penalty has to be in line with the magnitude of the power. So.
Oh, of course, yeah. That's how it always is.
But yeah, I'd rather not give up, like, my arm.
Yeah.
To be, like, a professional basketball player or something stupid.
Well, I don't think... That's normally not how it works, unless it's...
But that's just how it would have, you know... It's like, we're gonna draw your penalty out of a hat, and whatever it is, we'll totally screw over the power that you receive. So I'd rather not play that game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's better if you have, like, a cost, like, every time you use it, but you're still okay.
Like
it shaves minutes off your life, the minute that you use the power.
Like, darker than black, I have to smoke a cigarette. That's such a terrible, that's an overwhelming penalty.
I meant something, like, legitimate. Anyways, Soul Rogue writes, hi, AAA podcasters. Hi, Soul Rogue.
What's up?
I don't know about you guys, but have you ever gotten ridiculed at for watching anime? For instance, one of my family members did not understand it and just decided to make fun and laughed at it. A little personal question, but I wonder if it's an all common, I assume if it's at all a common problem. Thanks for responding. Yeah, I feel like everyone has at some point. I mean, even if it's not like a flat out like, like there's always those people who are like, oh, You like anime? Does that mean you're a freak?
I mostly chose to just not share the fact that I watch anime with people. Then again, I didn't really get really big into anime until I was in high school. But, you know, I have had friends not ridicule me, but ridicule anime. Like, yeah. Oh, like, it's just ridiculously stupid. And, I did have people look at me funny when they saw that I was reading a Battle Royale manga on a school trip once. I think I mentioned that before.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that.
Let that be a lesson to you. Do not read Battle Royale manga in public. Or even if it's on an airplane. Which isn't really public. It's kind of semi-public.
Unless you have the window seat and you can lean up and put it like this and you have one of those privacy covers for it.
It was just one of those asshole people that, you know, was just... I mean, I'm pretty sure it just got snatched out of my hand, basically. You know?
The people who are like, what's that Japanime?
What's that Japanime? Oh, what is this? And then they open it up and there's like... You know, a guy getting an arrow through his eye socket, and then, like, his brains are oozing out in explicit detail, and they're like, wow. You know, it's like, first it was stupid because it was for kids, right? And now it's like, oh, you're demented because it's too adult. Good lord, you can't win.
I was never really, like, ridiculed. I mean, I'm sure there were things said, but, like, when I was... I mean, in elementary school, I didn't care, and... Because I was good at art, I was kind of popular as a result of that. So even if it was anime, people were like,
oh, Chiaki is popular.
Oh,
watch out.
Shut up. It was like, oh, you're so good at art. That's so cool. And, like, secondary for the anime. And then, like, when I got into high school, I hung out with kind of the drama, geeky kind of, you know, off the beat crowd. And so I'm sure we kind
of... Animorgies. You know how it is.
Come on, that
tell
one
the story.
Time,
tell
there
the
was
story.
That one time backstage. No, oh my god, I have so many stories. Like this, that one time when I was running.
Oh, here it comes.
I'm not going to go too far into it. All right, but
you tell your story. I'm going to sit here and sip my bubble tea because it's going to be entertaining.
Well, there was this one time in a dress rehearsal.
At band camp.
It wasn't at band camp. It was a dress rehearsal for a play. And it was our first dress rehearsal, like full costume dress rehearsal and everything like that. And
what costume was it?
Oh God, it was like I was changing from like a pants and a blouse to like a dress thing. It doesn't matter.
This was high school, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean that was like 2 years ago. That was like 1 year ago. You should be able to remember.
What? It was like six. God, I'm old now, Mitsuki. Don't you know that? And so like I'm running backstage, and. This is, like, a quick scene change, and this was part of what, like, they were like, you gotta get dressed in the wings now, because I had too many quick changes. And so I'm running, and I kick off my shoes, and I forget I have pantyhose on, and I go to, like, turn really sharply, and I'm, like, trying to undress myself as I'm running, and I just... eat it on the floor, and it was so embarrassing. Like, I'm half naked, sprawled about. Meanwhile, I'm like, I gotta get back on stage. Quick, dress me. But, okay, anyways, that was totally off topic. But the notion is I had a bunch of fun with people like that, and we really could care less if there were haters.
But perfectly,
haters are gonna hate.
Perfectly relevant, nonetheless.
Why was it relevant?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's always relevant.
Okay, well,
whenever it's
completely relevant.
When are amusing stories not relevant?
Oh my god, I have so many amusing stories from my drama years, but...
What did that kid tell you at GameStop?
Oh my...
Tell the GameStop story, come on.
Which kid? The kid and his father, or like the 14-year-old?
The 14-year-old.
Oh, I had a 14-year-old come into my store, and he was paying in a bunch of ones, which isn't that abnormal, because it's like they save up rent money or...
How many ones was it?
It was like... 20?
20 $1 bills?
Yeah. And, you know, they save up, like, chore money and things like that or whatever. And he was like, sorry for all the ones. And I was about to say, it's no big deal. And he was like, it was a long night on the pole. And this kid was, like, 14. And I just died laughing.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I've been off topic long enough. The sum is that Soul Rogue, no, I don't think it's abnormal. I think most anime fans go through it at some point with someone.
I think it's 100% normal.
Yeah.
It's become less normal with video games. Like, it used to be like, you were a video game nerd, ooh, what's wrong
with
you?
Oh, yeah.
But now video games are sort of like watching films.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of hard to make fun of that.
Now that I've gotten sufficiently off topic, moving on.
Oh, perfectly relevant.
Perfectly relevant. Oh, the stories that I
Announcements.
Have. Announcements, indeed.
We have some good ones today.
We do have some good ones.
And bad ones.
Well, yeah. We will start off by saying that, unfortunately, and we would like to apologize to everyone because this is not something we enjoy doing, but unfortunately, Anime Expo will not be in the cards for the Anime Anonymous podcast this year. As much as we want to go... we were running the numbers again for the whole trip, and it was literally going to be like $1,000.
A person.
Because the flights were like...
$650?
Like $550, $600 just to get out there for one person. So as much as we would love to go, you know, Kimiko just started her first job. Roko's starting his science-y, I'm a genius internship job thing. You know,
he'd like to hear you say that. Roko claims he's coming on the podcast next week.
There's a bunch of factors financially that, aside from just being a big price tag in general, that, you know, we're all kind of crunched for money.
Yeah. And of course, we apologize to Steve Bloom for not being able to have coffee. And
yeah. You know.
You know, we were looking forward to that, but sometimes you just can't win.
But Pirate 69 says take out massive loans because there are no repercussions. I know.
This is America!
We kind of originally, unknowing to each other, funnily enough, we started looking for jobs in Japan.
Yeah, because Mitsuki hates his job.
Yes, we've been over before.
Yeah, it's kind of like being tormented every day.
Yeah. So, unfortunately for Mitsuki, he found a job that starts in July.
Oh, Mitsuki's going to Japan. Boom.
And I found a different job that starts in September. So the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast is moving to Japan.
We're relocating suburbs of Tokyo.
Long story short of how this affects you guys, obviously,
It doesn't.
We're still going to do our best to keep the show going. There might be a week or two in there when people are in transit that, you know, we're going to do our best. But hopefully we can bring you live content from things like Comic Cat or the Tokyo Game Show.
Or from some random Japanese woman's garden.
In
the middle of some random Japanese woman's rice field.
That too.
In the middle of some random playground.
Yes.
I don't know. I can keep it going.
The
middle of Koko Ichiban, yeah.
Kimiko and Roko will still be part of the show. You know, kind of like they are now as they're being Skyped in. They'll just be Skyped in then, so that really won't be changed.
Man, we are scattered now.
Yeah.
Now we're in Austria, Tokyo, Boston, and Florida.
Yep.
Craziness.
So we hope that, you know, overall, if there's any kind of difficulties we encounter unforeseen in the next and couple months, with regards to us all moving and everything, we hope you guys are understanding of that fact. Hopefully we can hopefully we can produce a better show for you because we're going closer to the source and, you know, go to Akihabara when the Tiger and Bunny, stuff like the Tiger and Bunny Cafe opens and report on it live. So maybe we can utilize our YouTube channel more because I know when we've traveled through Japan before, we've posted a bunch of videos and it'll be fun.
Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity. You know, it's a nice chance to get out and have, you know, an adventure. It's not the first trip to Japan, it's the fourth trip. But this one, obviously, for a longer period of time, and Mitsuki quits his job on Friday.
Yep.
Hell yes.
I'll still be here in the country, though, for a few more months.
I'm going to relish it. not having anything to do for a while. I have to admit. Speaking of YouTube, we have been working on relocating the videos that were removed from iTunes to another to a place where people could still enjoy them. And so I was working on finding a YouTube manager for us because we just don't have time to do it, to basically run the YouTube channel so we can get all the videos on there, the videos of the live of the recorded live shows that I know many of you watched.
That way, you know, our server doesn't kick us off and we go dead.
And so we'd like to announce that Post-it Note Ninja is our new manager for the YouTube channel. And so all of the live recorded videos will be put onto the YouTube channel, and it's actually been created. So you guys can go check it out and watch the shows. We have the extended length videos, so you can, you know, watch them all without having to switch the, you know, part one, part two, part three,
yep,
type of deal. So
it'll be great. Post-it Note Ninja's already on the ball.
Doing a good job so far.
Heart that kid.
Yep.
I don't even know how old she is, but heart that kid. So if anyone messes with Post-it Note Ninja,
don't even mess.
Watch out.
Don't even mess. I'll send the crazy ass cat to get you. He'll eat your sandwiches.
He will eat your sandwiches. All right. So that's the clerical stuff. If you have any questions on how, you know, things are changing or any further whatever, as always, hit us up on the forums. But today we are talking about fan subbing requested by Anal Bandit Rip Menma. And then we will be doing two reviews, also listener requested. As you can tell, we're working our way, getting through those listener requested reviews, at least a few shows at a time. And the reviews will be Kopi Ha, requested by bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-got-bot-go, and Blue Flames, requested by Tyvin. So I think we are going to jump in to a news break, and we'll be back soon. You tsundere out there, this is Chiaki, and this is your anime news break. First up, for you GTO fans out there who are avidly following the live-action remake of your beloved series, or if you don't even know that a live-action GTO remake is in the works, I have to ask, where have you been these past episodes? But for your benefit, there is a live-action remake of the 1998 anime series that will be beginning this July. Now, most recently, they've posted character photos of the cast, and it's looking great. You can find online photos of Miss Fuyutsuki, of course, the great teacher Onizuka, and most recently, Hajime Fukuroda, who's being played by Eiji Sugi-chan Sugiyama, a popular comedian. For you rising J-pop stars out there, there is a new app that you will have to buy. This app is called Karaoke MA, and it is available on the iTunes App Store. Sorry, Android users. I don't know if they're going to port over or if it's just going to remain an iPhone-only exclusive. But as the name of the app suggests, it's a karaoke app for anime music. Now, this app has everything that you could possibly need to turn your own personal living room into a karaoke booth. It has, of course, lyrics on screen that you can switch over to kana if you want to practice your reading, as well as, of course, the romaji. And it also has pitch bending for if the song is too high or too low. I know I will have to check out this app if you're interested. It is $2.99 a month subscription service, so that is a monthly recurring fee, but they update the library frequently with new songs. As of right now, it's free to download, and it comes with a special promotion track, Oath Sign, the opening track of Fate Zero, originally performed by Lisa. Finally, in some legal news surrounding the anime industry, a subcommittee of the Council for Cultural Affairs, an advisory committee for Japan's Agency for Cultural Affairs, recently decided that they would evaluate the place of parody in Japanese copyright law. As Japanese law currently stands, no special provisions are made for parody works, as they are under the laws of various other countries such as the United States. For those of you who are unfamiliar, the United States has adapted what they call a fair use clause. Now, you can use certain amounts of copyrighted material under fair use for commentary and parody without having it be copyright infringing. A strict reading of current Japanese copyright law would deem parody as a violation of copyright owners' right to maintain integrity, making parody potentially illegal without the prior consent of copyright owners. The committee has decided to investigate the matter. It'll be interesting to see what they decide. This is Chiaki, and this was your Anime News Break. Just a bit more, and we'll be back to the show.
Hey everybody, Kyokai here, welcoming you to Metaverse, home to fangirls Bishis and Beejins. We go over anime news and discuss all things related to the fandom of any manga and everything in between.
It was like watching two kittens roll over each other. The day Kurosu Suji 2 ended, the next day ended up dressing like all in black just because I was so sad.
I'm the boy!
My favorite color is sleep.
Or K-On for the music, I guess not.
That was low, man. Below the belt.
We are an experienced anime blogging site, giving us the expertise to dish out detailed opinions on which series to watch and when to drop. Head over to metanon.net and enter the metaverse. After all, we take fangirling seriously.
Hi, my name is Tony Oliver, voice of Arsene Lupin III from Lupin III, the TV series, and I am an anime addict.
We're back to the 137th episode of the Anime Excellence Podcast.
Hell yes!
What he said. So our main topic tonight was requested by Anal Bandit Rip Menma. Anal Bandit Rip Menma writes, "As a fan subber, I'm curious as to your thoughts and views on fan subbing, various groups, literal versus liberal, honorifics, etc. And so we decided to try our best."
Yeah, I mean, we're not fan subbers, but we're also not ignorant. So,
yeah,
it's like half the battle.
We consume fan subbing, so we're going to do our best, and Anal Bandit Rip Menma, I hope we can not completely butcher it. Maybe we won't get everything exactly in detail, but not butchering it's a start.
That is an important part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not butchering it is a nice place to start, I think. So... why don't you start us off?
Speaking of nice places to start, I feel like it makes the most sense to start with the history of fan subbing. The roots, as it were.
The roots.
And fan subbing really started in the 1990s. I know we've talked about the history of anime a bunch and at length with regards to, like, Otaku no Video.
Man, we're just historical.
We are historical. And anime coming over to the U.S. And in the 1990s, you know, anime was really starting to boom in Japan. And there really weren't as many titles on the American market competitively. And it's important to remember that, you know, while the internet existed in the 1990s...
It did? Barely.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, it existed, but it was back in, like, the days of...
Go ahead. Oh. I had a thought, but I'll save it.
Okay. So... there were a bunch of shows being released in Japan, and most of the people in the American market didn't have access to what was being released. And so fan subbing really started with the fans, much like it is now. And groups would come together, translate their favorite shows, attach their own subtitles, and then distribute to other fans. And, of course, this is back in the day of VHSs, so...
oh, my God.
I know. So this could take, you know, a number of different, or even laser discs. So this could take a number of different things. Like, for example, it could require laser discs of the anime, videotape recorder, a basic computer even at that point, a program, like a subbing program, and then they put it all on and they spit it all out. The really original basic fan subbing method that got started was with scripts. And really what people would do is they'd take a VHS, the translator would just literally write down, you know, the dialogue like in a script form, and then they just pass it around with this script and the VHS, and then as people would watch it, you know, you'd watch and you'd read the script, and you'd watch and you'd read the script, and that's how people would do it, and that was really fan subbing in its most primitive, original form. Oh, you kept seeming like you wanted to say something, so I'm pausing.
I just had when we were talking about the boom of the internet, you know, I just think about how, I think about, you know, what it takes to put out a fan sub.
Yeah.
And how I feel like fan subbing has really been exponentially growing in the last, you know, decade because of the not only the proliferation of the internet, but also the how vast the internet speed has been increasing.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing like downloading a massive file on a dial-up modem. It doesn't work as well as queuing up 4 episodes of anime, a gig worth of files, and then taking a shower or coming back 15 minutes later and having it be done, you know?
Yeah.
And plus, nobody can afford anime nowadays, so everybody just watches fan subs.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, with the internet is, or with going back to that point in time, is that everything else was so much more basic then. I mean, if you think about it, like, we have video editing tools where you cut and you stitch together and things like that, but that actually goes back to the original editing process where people literally cut and taped film reel together. And so, I mean, there just weren't programs in a lot of cases that made fan subbers' lives easy.
Right.
So, I mean, I remember my professor, when I was taking classes in Japan, talking about fan subbing in the U.S. and literally the groups that would just spend time, you know, like I said, making up those written or typed pages of scripts and just distributing them around with the VHS. And fan subbing, you know, originally started, as we've mentioned before, to create demand. Because the thing was is that there just wasn't really a huge anime presence in the U.S. People didn't realize what was being released over in Japan. And, of course, it wasn't, again, like the internet, where 3 months before a season, someone's posted a huge JPEG of these are all the animes that are coming out this season.
Right. So you're doing a demand pool type of, you know, into the U.S. market, getting people to experience the anime by doing some subs of it, and then having the consumers demand that people license it.
Exactly. Because, you know, the whole notion was if people are liking what they're seeing, then they're going to go, hey, we want more of this. This is something we'll pay for. And then companies will be like, oh, okay, yeah. And I mean, it's something, the other part of it is that fan subbing really was in a position where it wasn't a competitor at all to the industry at this point, because what the fan subbers could produce really wouldn't be at a level, you know, comparative to the industry. You either have, you know, your options would either be a VHS tape and a written script that you'd have to read as you're watching and to figure out what they're saying. If it's somewhat more sophisticated, a Laserdisc or a VHS that someone had the technology to actually put the subs on. But it's going to be a lower quality than a licensed VHS tape. Or you could have the licensed VHS tape, which, yeah, you'd have to pay for, but you wouldn't have to read. It would have, you know, dubbing or subs built right in. And so fan subbing really couldn't compete with the licensed material at that point because it was either of lower quality or more hassle to the people. And again, unlike the internet, it could only really be shipped or distributed physically. So you would still have to wait to get a physical product. It wasn't like instant download on the internet.
People still do the whole script fan subbing.
Yeah.
It's done a lot for video games. You know,
yeah.
Because it's a lot harder to fan sub a video game. Maybe impossible. I don't really know enough about that, but you know, you have like a Japanese RPG and you can find the scripts online usually.
Yeah. And so I mean, maybe as technology progresses, 10 years down the road, we'll be doing a how people originally subbed eroge video games.
Yeah.
which would be awesome if we're still doing this podcast 10 years down the road.
Gotta love that eroge.
Yeah. Because, you know, ikimochi. You don't know what she's saying there at all.
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
I do.
So, I mean, fan subbing really, it started out as a way to create demand, and it really did just that. I mean, I really do think, no matter what your thoughts about fan subbing are today, I really don't think half the dubbing houses in America or would be here without fan subbing, for better or for worse.
Well, yeah, and that's ironic, you know. I mean, it's hard to go. It's hard to say in hindsight what anime would look like now without fan subbing.
Yeah,
you know, perhaps driving demand initially, but it's, if you think about it, it's almost ironic that the very groups that complain about the fan subbing, the, you know, dubbing houses,
or the huge loyalists to the dubbing houses,
may not even exist without the dubbing, without the fan subbers in the first place.
Yeah,
but maybe that's a topic for a different time.
Well, no, we're talking about fan subbing. This is the time.
I just don't want to get into the whole fan sub versus dub thing again.
Yeah, fair
enough.
It's
been done a lot, and, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, even now, the fan subbers drive a lot of the demand for the, I mean, I feel like the dubbing houses are more in tune to things now, mm-hmm. so I feel like they, at least they should, have a general understanding of what the popular shows are.
Yeah.
But even now, demand is initially driven in the United States by the fan subbers, because, for example, there's a whole slew of shows right now that are still airing from the spring that aren't licensed yet, and the only reason why anybody knows about them at all in the U.S. is because someone out there is fan subbing them.
Which I do have to say, and again, not to go off on a tangent, but I guess this is kind of what this whole episode's about, is I do have to say, it sometimes shocks me when I hear or am present at, like, Funimation or Aniplex discussing their licensed anime, you know, for the year at a big con or whatever. And I know there's a lot of legal and logistics and affordability that goes into this that we don't see on our end. But there's some part of me that looks at these companies and goes, are you that out of touch with your fan base? I mean, because I see the things that they bring over, like, you know, from whatever season, and I see what was popular that season,
yeah,
and what was downloading. Like, they'll pick a show that's, like, here, and then there's, you know, another show from that season that's been downloaded 3 times that amount.
In other words, aka, you know, e.g., for example, why, oh why, do we really need to have Bakuto Test to Shokanju Ni?
Exactly.
For God's sake, the first one was enough. But I feel like a lot of it has to do with the price of the licensing.
Well, again,
and,
yeah,
it's going to cost a lot. In Japan, they know, they also know what shows were popular.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe it's just the fact that, you know, you have a company like Funimation that only has $10 million a year in revenue. You know, maybe they just can't afford to license, you know, the most popular show. But I think maybe now we're getting off topic.
Yeah. But, well, you know, it's kind of in the segue that, you know, modern day fan subbing. So, as, of course, computers and the internet have progressed, you know, probably a number of listeners on the show have never heard dial-up other than in movies and shit like that.
It's a terrible noise.
It is a terrible noise.
I could imitate it, but you'd rather not hear it.
But modern-day fan subbing, I don't want to call it easier because it's still a lot of work and time, but the cool thing about modern-day fan subbing, in my opinion, is that, you know, the people can be much more spread out and it can happen much faster. Because, of course, generally speaking, you know, if someone was in Japan, they would have to pop in the VHS, record it on TV, then they'd either mail it to someone in the U.S. or they'd do the translating there, and then they would distribute by hand around. We're here. I mean, some fan subbers get it up within 24...
A couple days.
48 hours of when the show airs in Japan. And I think that the process in some ways is fundamentally the same, but in other ways it's very different. And the internet has allowed fan subbers to be all over the world, you know, wherever, collaborate together over things like FTP clients and, you know, other methods to produce and really pop out things that are of comparative quality really quickly. So fan subbing is divided, generally speaking, into like six different work parts. There's the original translator. There's the timing, translating check, editing, typeset, quality check, and then release and distribution. And before all this happens, kind of like a precursor to this is getting the raw. And the raw may be acquired by the fan subbing group, or it could just be put out by their own group. I think there are some people who all they do is put out raws, and then fan subbers can pick those up and do whatever they want with them, but the people put out the raw, and then they're like, all right, we're done.
Does your source explain where they get the raw video from? Is
yeah.
it stripped right off of television?
It pretty much is, and that's why you'll see sometimes that, you know, you'll get the episode with the Rogue commercial in it, but the show airs in Japan.
And the time clock up in the corner?
Yeah, and screen cap, the show in Japan, and this information, by the way, I did research with Doki and Taka Subs, which are two people that I've used before, and the show airs in Japan, cappers cap the show in Japan, and then either upload the transport stream to Japanese P2P networks such as Perfect Dark or Share, or to torrents, and then people will download that way right off of the internet. And then when the encoder picks it off of these sites and creates a working RAW for the fan subbing group. So now it has gone from the TV, screen capped into the interwebs, pulled from the interwebs, and put into the fan subber's box.
It's really not that hard to do. You know, I had my own little soiree with capturing anime back when I was in high school, and it's pretty astonishing how easy it is to pull the video off the television.
Yeah.
I mean, you basically just, I think what I did was I just recorded it flat out. I think back then VHS was still, you know, proliferant. Is that a word? Was still proliferating. Maybe. So I believe that I used VHS, and then I used a VHS to computer capture device to basically feed the VHS, the VCR video, right into the computer, and then you could just basically record the video, flat out onto your computer. Bam, it's a file.
I mean, I remember when I was doing anime music videos starting off, it was back, you know, there was internet, but it was dial-up, and if you wanted to download anything over 50 megabytes, it was like, oh my god.
It had to be like a week.
Yeah.
Up in the mountains of West Virginia, 3.2 KB a second.
Yeah. So, like, but I remember I had a capture card, and you could pretty much plug in whatever you wanted, and it would capture. So, capturing programs aren't that old, but...
They're not.
I think they've... Or aren't that new, I mean to say.
Yeah, they're not that new, you're right.
But, so, and yeah, it's really easy. But that's why I think, that's why sometimes, I mean, obviously so, the RAW gets up so much faster than the sub, because someone literally just pressed play for 30 minutes, stops it, and throws it up on the web. So the fan subbing community, or fan subbing group, now has that RAW. Translators then take that work raw and literally work on a script, kind of throwback to the old school. Doki says that it can take 3 to 6 hours to translate an episode, and I assume it's how quick you are. I'm sure Miss Erica Central Parker could do it in like 1.5.
Yeah, no, half an hour.
Half an hour. Just write it as the episode's going.
Well, that's probably what, if she was a fan cyber, that's probably what she would do.
She'd probably have to pause it. I assume, and I also assume it depends on the type of show. I'd imagine shows like Bakemonogatari, which are like, I'm going to speak really, really fast in 10,000 miles, and this is all we do, the whole show is talk really fast.
Of course, she would basically listen to it in Japanese and then translate it into German, Korean, and English.
Yeah, you know, just to make it easy, upload those all so you could select which one.
At the same time, too.
Yeah, because she's a computer. She's a robot. Didn't know if you guys knew.
And give a violin concert at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. With her free hand.
Right.
Because she just needs one hand to play the violin. So we've now gotten the episode onto the internet. Let's say that's about an hour and a half of time, assuming that the raw person is you know, efficient. You have an hour and a half of the episode and then an hour and a half to get it uploaded onto whatever.
I would say it doesn't even take that long.
Well, but, you know.
I'm just emphasizing what you're saying.
Then let's say another half hour for the fan subbing group to get it into their hands. And make like start making a work raw. So that's 2 hours. And then let's say we got 4.5 hours of scripting. So now we're at 6.5 hours of work here. The script is then passed on to the timer. So then the timer takes the script and works on making sure the correct line appears when they're talking. Because you don't want, you know, someone being like, Okasan ga suki desu. And then, you know, the subtitle to be like, yeah, the lips keep going and there's no subtitle. Or the subtitle's like, I want coffee. And you're like, no, that's not what she said. Not even close.
That was 20 seconds ago.
That was 20 seconds ago. Once the timing's done, the raw script is imported, and then the editor, it's then passed on off to the editor, who then edits the time script. And the editor really works on... part of it's making sure everything's timed correctly, kind of like with the timer. Think of it like a first time you looked over a draft of a paper.
Or the second or the third draft. Or the fourth draft.
Are you bitter, Mitsuki?
Yeah, my job.
So then the editor basically looks it all over. And the other thing the editor does is not always the English is the translator's first language. So you might have phrases that are a little bit awkward, and a good editor will go through and obviously you don't want to change something that you lose the meaning, but you also want to change it enough that it's not awkwardly said. I don't even remember what fan sub it was or what anime it was, but I remember back in anime club, we downloaded an anime and the subs were awful. They were just bad. Like,
it seems like all the bad subs I've bought come from China.
Yeah.
I love China. I've been there twice.
No, not buy. Download it off the net. It was some kind of fan subbing group.
I've bought DVDs offline that came from China. And they're usually very poor.
So the editor gets everything. The typesetter places the subs, finishes it up, and then does one more check of it all, and then it's finally sent out. The only other thing that some fan subbers do and some don't is they might put in the karaoke for the opening or the closing, which is kind of its own thing because you got to get the timing for that as they're singing for the things to change.
Or if it's Macross Frontier, every episode.
Yeah, or if it's Macross Frontier, every single episode. And then after it's encoded, you know, you do a final quality check. And then they distribute it off of sites like Anime Suki. I know Anime Suki is a great site, and I really like them because they're still kind of loyal to that notion of we're putting this out there to get people excited about it, and we're going to take it off when it's licensed.
Mm-hmm. One of the only sites that I'm familiar with. I'm sure there are others.
Yeah.
But that actually still follows that.
Yeah.
Because there's like 100 fan subbing sites that have anime from like the 80s. And it's like, this has been around forever. It's like, why can we still find fan sub Dragon Ball from the 80s or from the early 90s, whatever?
Well, something like that. It might be like Sailor Moon, where the licensing has since expired, and that might be in the borderline of okay now.
Okay, so let's just assume that it was taken off and they re-put it back on.
Yes, we'll assume that. So the modern day process, I don't know if I want to say if it's easier or harder, because I almost want to say on one side it might be considered easier because the technology is in such a way that, you know, people can work collaboratively from distances and it can be faster and, you know, you can get translators from Japan to help you out. But on the other side, I feel like people have such higher expectations because the technology is better that they want things to be in, you know, 720. They want the subtitles to be good.
Or if it's redlined, damn well better be 1080.
You know, and I think it's one of those things where every episode you're talking about probably at least 12 hours of solid work here.
Well, it takes the dubbing houses 4 months.
Yeah, but
Zingya!
So, I mean, I think every episode that comes up, like, when people are like, oh my god, this episode isn't up yet, I'm like, and it's only been, like, 36 hours, I'm like, cut the guys a break. They're probably killing themselves trying to get it up.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
Yeah. So some popular fan subbing groups that, you know, I'm familiar with and I've used before, or I've at least heard of, A-Craze is one.
A-Craze, I remember, did Monster. I used them for Monster.
Kick-Ass Anime, or Ka, K-A-A. Oh my god, I've downloaded so many things that they've done. I think they did some Across that I watched.
I think it was K-On for me. But I'm completely speculating.
KF, Saizen, Doki and Taka, of course, which helped me out explaining the process to you. Eclipse, Lunar, Frosty. I want to say Frosty's pretty good about getting things out fast.
Whatever. I'm normally late anyway, so I don't really notice when stuff's launched.
And GG Anime. So those are just a few that are a lot of... that are out there. I mean, I personally don't... I'm not loyal to a certain fan-subbing group.
Well, how can you be? They can't do everything.
Yeah, I mean, they can't do everything. And, I mean, I'll... If I'm downloading and not streaming, I'll just pick whatever seems to be seeding the best and, you know, is out, and I click first. So, I mean, if there's, like, four and one's KAA, one's Doki, one's Lunar or whatever, I don't necessarily go, oh, it's KAA, click.
I have no loyalty, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I have no loyalty to a certain fan-subbing group or over another.
I just take what's available.
One thing that I do think is fun is when fan subbers put in their own kind of notes on the sub. And I think some subbers that I've watched have gotten a little out of hand with it, too, where they've been like, fan subbers note, I think this is funny. I'm like, I'm sorry, are you watching the anime?
Why, you stupid bitch, shut the up.
Yeah. I do like that when fan subbers put that in for some things. I forgot what I was watching most recently that had one, but...
I like it when... I always think it's interesting when fan subbers will just use excessive profanity then in different instances. You know, the Japanese guy is like, "Kuso," you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I know many Japanese people, and I've asked several of them, teach me the swear words, and none of them have anything good to offer. Because yeah. Japanese just doesn't have an excessive number of swear words. So they don't have, like, it's not like English where every word, we have, like, you know, thousands of swear words.
Yeah.
And an urban dictionary full of them.
Yeah, urban.
So I know that kuso doesn't necessarily mean, you know, the F word or worse.
Yeah. I mean, I think the worst that their language gets is, like, jerk.
Damn it.
Like,
yeah, you bastard.
That's it. You bastard maybe is, like, the absolute worst, I'd say. They don't even have, like, an equivalent of, like, the F-bomb.
Fuzakenjaneyo!
But, oh god, I remember when we had a, last time we had a Japanese person over here, we were going over, we were like, give us ranks on the swear words.
I was like,
words.
Can you please rank these words? And she didn't know how to do it.
And we were like, so is there a word, like, and you know, we were like, we dropped the F-bomb. And she was like, no, we don't have anything equivalent to that in Japanese.
I actually took that list into my tutor, and then the tutor was totally like, she's like, this isn't even a swear word. Neither is this one.
So, yeah, that is funny sometimes. Sometimes I do, knowing some Japanese, I do listen to some fan subbers translations, and I'm like, I wouldn't have put it like that. But overall, I mean, I do think... And that is something that I've heard a lot of people criticize fan subbers for, is bad translations. But, I mean, overall, I'd rather have a bad translation than no translation and not be able to watch the show in general.
Yeah, some shows I can get away with raw, but yeah, it's pretty hard.
I can do Cheese Sweet Home raw. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. I can do a show meant for 5-year-olds raw. I'm such a badass.
I'm a badass. But, I don't know. I don't have a problem with the fan subbing industry.
I don't have a problem with it. I haven't watched anything but fan subs in forever.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't, you know, I can't blame anybody for not wanting to spend $10 an episode for something that may not even be in Blu-ray.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't blame you for that. So,
I mean, I think, and we've talked about the state of the anime industry before, and we've talked about, you know, fan subbers could become viable businesses before, and we have talked about, you know, fan subbing in general a lot, but I just have to say, you know, I do admire the work that fan subbers put in. I do really like the fan subbers who, kind of like Anime Suki, who are like, you know, if it's licensed, please stop distributing this. You know, we want to stick to the roots of fan subbing. And that kind of roots of fan subbing, I, you know, really, really admire and really think is good. And I feel like to round this topic out, I found a site with some crazy subs that, and I realized that some of these, someone could have just put the whatever text they wanted over it to be funny, but if it is true at all, some of these are hilarious and, you know, made me pee my pants when I was, not literally.
You literally peed your pants.
I didn't literally pee
you
my pants.
You literally did.
Though I was laughing so hard, I was gasping for breath.
Okay.
So I'll share, I shared the link in the chat, I figured, do you want to read a few Mitsugi, or?
Yeah, let's go through them.
All right.
I mean, this is entertaining enough.
So we have the first one, which is a man screaming, "Never come inside me without permission."
Huh. Yeah. And the second one is like a, looks like it's an outer space anime, and it says, "Hey, look at the monitor to your right."
And he's looking left.
And then the next picture is he's looking left. Oh, God. I guess this is like where you raise your eyebrows at the QC person.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, another one is two girls hugging each other and it's zoomed in on their faces and one girl is like, oh, and has like blushy face and the other one's like, ah, and it's guess where my other hand is.
Totally a molestation. The next one I think is from, is this from, what's that horrible anime that you did that project on?
No, that's not Handmade May.
It's not Handmade May. Is,
no.
Is this Love Hina?
No, it's not Love Hina. I don't know what it is.
It's one of those stupid animes where the nerd guy with giant glasses has like seven girls that want him. It might be.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
we're being
it doesn't
funny.
Matter. Yeah. So it says, hey, I'm down here. And then he's looking up.
This next one, oh my god. So it's Yu-Gi-Oh! And Yu-Gi-Oh! Is drawing his card dramatically and
he has,
says,
yes, he's got, imagine Yu-Gi-Oh!'s like deep man voice.
And then I invoke the permanent card,
the dignity of the retard did. I can't read. And then I invoke the permanent card, the dignity of the retarded.
A scene with three cups on a table. The subtitle is "There are two cups."
I can't count. Oh, this next one's funny. It's some hot chick on a motorcycle, and there's like a really oddly dressed dude, and she says, "Get in the car," and she's on a motorcycle.
The next
this one is one of my favorites. On here.
The next one's. I'm gonna lose it, Mitsugi. The next one's an old grandma smiling and asking.
Old grandma.
Old.
She's old.
And going, how was the taste of an older woman?
How was the taste of an older woman?
One of the ones that I really like is a compiled image of three different fan subbing groups and their translation of the exact same scene. Anime Craze translated the scene as, you know that there have been mass abductions here involving overseas mafia recently, right? Anime 1 translates it as, do you know about the kidnappings in this country which involves foreign mafia? Anime Junkies translated as, are you aware of the frequent occurrences of the mass naked child events within the country?
It's like, I picture naked children just parading down the streets. Unbelievable.
But in conclusion, fan subbing, however funny.
Here's one that says, "I can't not." Oh, that's proper grammar.
However funny, you know, gotta laugh at the bloopers.
I will say that I don't run into this type of thing very often.
Yeah.
In fan subbing, so you know, I don't know how hard this person had to look to find all these terrible translations, but.
And like I said, I'm sure there's some of them where, you know, you could just find a picture of the internet and put on your own text and claim it's a fan sub.
When I bought my Future Boy Conan offline,
oh DVDs, my god, that one's awful.
It's not so much that they say things that are just don't make that are stupid, you know, like moo means moo or whatever. But like I'd actually rather have you know, a sentence about naked mouth. That's thunder, people, yes. It hasn't stopped thundering in Florida for like 10 days. I didn't know it rained in Libya. Oh.
Holy, it's still rumbling.
That's my referencing the ridiculous temperatures in this state. But, you know, it's when you can't even understand what they're trying to say because it's not even decipherable.
Yeah.
And I've had that a couple times from, you know, buying things online.
Grandpa, be you.
Yeah, it's bad.
Overall, you know, the fan subbing industry, as I said before, I think we wouldn't have anime as we have it here in America without the fan subbing industry.
Well, sure, because there wouldn't be any demand, so why would anybody make dubs?
Yeah.
I mean, we'd still have Raw.
Yeah.
But nobody would be watching it.
And, you know, whatever the future of the anime industry here in America may be, it's pretty clear that I think fan subbers aren't going anywhere anytime soon. Because I think that, you know, even if someone decided to prosecute, the dubbing companies have no money, and, you know, the courts are too busy trying to get $6 trillion from LimeWire or whatever the ridiculous amount is.
I'm actually pretty sure that the dubbing houses don't even want to get rid of the subtitles.
Yeah.
Because who's going to know about your terrible Bakuto Testo Shokanju? And I can't imagine anybody actually enjoyed that show. And if no one, you know, if there was no demand generated for it, how do you expect to make sales?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I'm
sure they haven't thought that far ahead.
Well, with that, we will be taking another anime news break, and when we come back, I will be reviewing Kopihan, requested by Bobo Go, and Mitsugiba will be reviewing Blue Flames, requested by Typhoon, and I don't think that's a review you want to miss. So stay tuned. You anime gamers out there, this is Chiaki, and this really is your Anime News Break. First up, Anime News Network has recently confirmed that the Persona 4, the animation, The Factor of Hope film, ends with footage of the Persona 3 role-playing game's protagonist holding a gun to his head, firing, and then saying that production on a theatrical film version of the Persona 3 game has been green-lit. The Persona 4 the animation, The Factor of Hope film, has opened in Japan this past week as a compilation of the Persona 4 the animation series. While the announcement did not explicitly say that the Persona 3 film adaptation would be anime, the protagonist's footage was in traditional 2D animation. The announcement also did not specify the length of the adaptation or the release date, but I know I, for one, as a fan of the Persona series, am incredibly excited to see what they can do with it. In other news, for you Bakemonogatari fans, Namco Bandai has begun streaming a second promotional video for its Bakemonogatari portable game this past week. The game, inspired by Nisi Ossian's supernatural light novel and its anime adaptation, will ship in Japan on August 23rd. If you're a huge fan of the series and are interested in buying the game, there's a limited edition box set that may be just the thing for you. the limited first pressing of the over-the-top crazy mad conversation drama game will retail for about 9,980 yen, which is about 126 US dollars. This edition's exclusive box will include a multi-use pouch as well as special contents DVD, voice CD, custom theme, and booklet. Now, if you're a fan of the series, but this is a bit too rich for your blood, there is a regular version that will be available for both purchase and download for 6,280 yen, which is approximately 80 US dollars. I watched the promo, and it seems to be exactly like the anime in all the wonderful ways. So, if you're a fan and you have a PSP, yay for video game consoles that are region-free, and it may be worth checking out. Finally, for those of you who are fans of the Madoka Magica series, or just fans of magical girls in general, this could be a game worth keeping your eyes out for. The official website for the Puella Magi Madoka Magica online browser game has begun streaming a second promotional video this past week as well. The 90-second video outlines the story, includes gameplay clips, and highlights the game's character customization features. In this game, based on Shaft's original anime, the player can become a magical girl and make friends with five other magical girls, including other players, to form a dream team. Together, the party can save the world as they take on the Walpurgis Knight. So, this was Chiaki, and this was your video game news break. Don't go anywhere, because we'll be back to the show soon.
What did the anime addict say when asked who would win in a battle between a magical girl and a team of Pokemon?
Who doesn't want to spin around, glow, and have all their clothes fly off?
Anime.
The battle stops when you do it. You don't have to worry about getting shot. Like, no one ever thinks, oh my god, she's changing. Quick, shoot her.
Addicts.
First of all, I would say that my Pokemon would not be enticed by your nakedness. 12-year-old breasts and ass are not going to entice my Charmander.
Wait. Anonymous. Yes.
I'm eating a sandwich calling my bookie because I just stomped your ass.
Podcast. Visit the Anime Addicts at www.aaapodcast.com and iTunes.
And we're back to the last segment in the 137th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast.
It's never long enough.
Never. And we've reached the review segment. Yay! I think I'll go first, because I want to sit back and relax and enjoy your review of Blue Flames.
You do want to sit back and relax and enjoy that one.
So I'm reviewing Kopihan, requested by Bopobo, 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 Botgo. And Kopihan was a Studio Gonzo production where they teamed up with Hatsune Miku character designer Kei, on an original anime project, and really the whole summary that I can give is it's a slapstick school comedy, and it's set in Tokyo in 2034. It came out back not really long ago. I mean, I think it came out in 11, so probably one of those mini-series that we don't normally sign up for when we distribute.
Yeah, it's because they always suck.
Oh, me too, Keith.
Hey, that's my role on this podcast, is to be a hater.
This whole anime is, 7 episodes long, 6 minutes per episode, and, like, a minute of that is, the opening theme, Loop, by, Yayuyu, which is actually a pretty good song. I enjoyed it. I don't know if there's a longer version, but if there is, I want to find it. So... yeah, that whole notion of slapstick school comedy is kind of correct, because there really isn't any kind of overarching story, literally zero.
No story?
No story. Nothing.
Gotta love that.
The characters, you know, kind of just ran around and did stuff. There was some overlap, you know, of characters in the setting, because it was all taking place in the same city, you know, Tokyo in 2034 or 2039 or whatever. There was a panty shot literally in the first 10 seconds of the first episode.
That's a pretty good indication that you should not watch it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But,
And how many more panty shots were there?
There actually weren't as many as you'd think. So it
wasn't,
given that
it wasn't Agent Ike is zero level.
No,
so there weren't 145 panty shots in the first episode.
I mean, I'd say there were probably 3 panty shots throughout the course of the series, but given that it's 7 6-minute long episodes, that's like, you know, three panty shots over one episode of a regular anime. So, like, the first episode was about, you know, a girl, and she's, like, a baseball star. The second episode was about I think they're twins, and they run a radio show for the school. The third episode had, and I'll probably get mixed up out of order, but, like, the third episode had, like, a cop, I think it was, or something like that, the third one was a, convenience store cashier girl who everyone thought was cute, and she was, you know, just... fourth episode had, like, a cop, I think it was. Fifth episode had, a girl in the school who was a fan of the twins in their radio show. And then the sixth or seventh episode had, Shrine Maiden girl, so...
What are they doing?
It's just...
That's great that they're all these different people, but, like...
It's just, like, jokes and little snippets from their life.
Is there, like, some commonality between the episodes?
No. Other than the setting, nope. I mean, I have to say, if there were more episodes, I would probably watch them. Because even though it wasn't anything that I would traditionally define as good, I mean, the animation was okay. The music, aside from the opening, wasn't really anything to be spoken of. There's no story, but that being said, because it's only, you know, 6 minutes long... really, like, 5 minutes and 30 seconds when you get rid of the opening and the closing credits. It's kind of like a, oh, that was amusing. And then you go along your merry way. I giggled. It wasn't like a laugh-out-loud kind of thing, but I was amused. So, in that respect, I'd say the anime was successful at what it was trying to do.
Did it make you laugh?
Yeah, be amusing.
Okay.
It's
not like there was a whole lot to it.
No.
No?
No. I mean, you basically got 30 minutes of content here, give or take. Since each episode was completely different and focused on someone completely different, it wasn't like they could create any kind of story or character development or anything like that between the episodes. So... It really was, and I don't want to let that, you know, be an excuse for it, because I've known anime that create a story and develop the characters in 6 minutes, nevertheless 30, you know. So it's not to say that it can't be done, but I think this anime was entirely set out to entertain with some jokes, be like 5 minutes of random entertainment, and then move on with your life. I don't think it was trying to be good.
How do they
in that sense?
This is an OVA, right?
I think Anime News Network has it classified as an ONA.
Okay.
Which I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I was just curious if it had gone on, if it was on TV. I always wonder how these shows. There have been short episode shows that have been on TV. And I just wonder, you know, I guess I'll figure it out now that I'm moving to Japan. But
yeah.
I mean, I just wonder, how do you fit, you know, a 4-minute episode into a television block? You'd either have to show, like, 5 of them, or just fill a commercial break.
Now, following the airing of this little, you know, thing, Kapihan Sayatosayu no Daisaku Sen, manga began being serialized in Comic Rush. So there, you know, I imagine it's probably in the same kind of line, where it'll probably be like short 1-page things that are in Comic Rush to be amusing. Overall, I really don't have that much else to say over it, because if I spend longer reviewing it than it takes to watch the whole damn anime, there's really no point. So overall, I'm going to give this anime, 2 cute cat-eared beanie hats out of 5, because it was better than a 1 or 1.5, but I can't give it more than a 2 for the sake of what it is.
Well, if you give it less than a 2, it becomes might as well be a hentai, and
That's basically what my anime was.
There were some hot chicks in it. It wouldn't be a bad hentai.
Really?
I mean, it really wouldn't be a bad hentai. I just, I don't know, maybe I'm just feeling soft tonight or whatever, but I was amused by it, and that to me, you know, says something, because there are a lot of anime where they're like, oh my god, this anime is hilarious, and I don't even laugh at all, not even close, so.
Okay, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I did an anime, wow, this one kind of caught me by surprise. I reviewed an anime called Blue Flames, or the Japanese name for it is Aoki Hono, which means nothing to you, but Blue Flames. It was requested by Typhoon from the forum, and this is an anime that totally caught me off guard. You know, we were thinking about, you know, what can we review? We want to, you know, continue on the trend of doing things that the listeners want us to do, so.
Doing our best.
This anime, it almost belonged in a hentai episode. I mean,
I was wondering, because I heard sex the whole time.
Constantly. This anime, and I don't even know how to tell you what this anime is about without telling you what's going on. And frankly, I don't really care if I tell you, because this anime came out in 1989, and it's obscure as hell.
And it's so only you're not gonna 40 watch minutes? It. Like,
yeah, 50 minutes.
And 50?
You're not going to watch it anyway, because it came out in 1989, and it's obscure, and there's frankly no reason why you need to watch it. So, but it's about this kid named Ryuichi Kaizu, and I'm just going to call him Kaizu because I feel like saying his first name. And he's this high school student, and he's just this total badass. I mean, he belongs in the Church of Mitsugi. He's a terrible person, though.
He's an awful person, but he's awesome.
He basically does... Anime News Network has a really short description of this anime, because it's basically that he will climb his way to the top of Tokyo and using women to do it. And he's just this... What's the word where you just manipulate women and you're a... You know, you're a chauvinist or... I don't know, it's a word worse than that, but... You know, for example, he... In the first episode, he has this girlfriend, and he basically convinces her to fall in love with him. And he doesn't really love her, but he tells her he does, you know? And the family of the girl is...
Blood Pirate 69, misogynist.
Misogynist. Okay, thank you. Yes. I appreciate that. Nice backup. And her family is one of those families that wants to give her away to another family that's wealthy, you know, to make connections and... You know, it's one of those traditional outlooks on women where you basically give the girl away to a rich family in return for money or whatever it is, right?
Well, technically the bride comes with the dowry.
The dowry, what, I don't know, whatever. They want to send her to a wealthy family in order to make connections with that family, right?
Yeah.
And so they're very much against her being in love with anybody because it's frankly not up to her in their eyes, right? And... So, here's a perfect example of how this guy's an asshole. Her brother, the girl's brother, is optimistic about it. The dad is, like, crazy. He's not open-minded at all. And so they go to have lunch with the boyfriend with Kaizu to see what he's like. And the dad is totally belligerent, and he demands that they break up. And, frankly, Kaizu's okay with that. He just wants to be paid 20,000 yen to do it.
Which is like 200-ish.
Well,
$250.
Maybe I'm adding up my numbers wrong, because it was 7,000 US. So maybe it's 200,000 yen. I don't remember. Whatever. It's late. You know what? It's Sunday.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. 7,000. The bottom line is that he's basically saying, I'll break up with her if you pay me. Right?
Yeah.
So he's a total ass. And so...
Quality guy right
and
there.
And so they pay half the money up front. And then he breaks up with her. And it's not that he breaks up with her. It's how he does it, right? Because he starts out normal, like, your parents are kind of crazy, and, you know, we're just from two different worlds, and it's just not going to work out, so we better break it off before, you know, things get too serious and the heartbreak gets too hard. And then that's a normal breakup.
Yeah.
But then he says, plus, I'm tired of you, and I'm tired of your body. And she is...
Just so you know, guys,
That's not how you do
That's
it.
That's not how you do it.
The first half would have been fine.
Yeah, the first half, you're okay still, but...
I mean, basically, your psycho-ass parents scared me off. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
But she's so distraught, he doesn't give a shit. Okay, he doesn't care at all. He got his 7,000. He's happy.
Kaiju don't care.
Shit. And so, but the girl cares. She goes home, and she tries to kill herself on sleeping pills. And so, I feel like I might as well just tell the whole story, because no one's going to watch this. If you watch
Do
this,
it.
If you go out and watch this anime, well, whatever. Anyway, there's going to be spoilers. So, she tries to kill herself, and the next day at school, there's a boy who's so unimportant that they don't even really give his name in the casting, but I'm just going to call him Boy X.
Boy X.
Meanwhile, Kaizu has slept with like 3 girls that aren't his girlfriend whilst they are dating. The first girl of which is a hostess who's quite hot. He actually sleeps with like 8 girls throughout the course of this show, just so you know. And yes, there's nudity.
Boobies.
Which kind of makes it a hentai. So, but like, you know, it's on the cusp. It's ecchi, I guess, because, you know, there's probably, it's 50 minutes long. Probably 5 minutes of the 50 minutes are sex scenes, of which probably 20 seconds of the 5 minutes have an actual nudity showing.
Okay.
So it's not like it's a hentai, but the sex is obviously an important part of the show. It's very frequent.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets to school the next day, and there's a guy in the class who's like this boxer or whatever, and he's all about, you know, he's pissed because he was in love with the girl. And he basically just... And Kaizu just doesn't even care that she tried to kill herself at all. He doesn't give a shit. And so the kid takes Kaizu out back and starts punching on him, right?
Right.
And so 5 minutes later in the anime, the kid gets caught... Boy X gets called into the principal's office. And Kaizu's there. And Kaizu has basically reported assault on the kid. And so the kid gets his, like, college scholarship revoked.
Oh, my God.
It's, like, unbelievable. And so the kid basically finds Kaizu outside again to fight him again, and Kaizu's actually a better fighter than he is, even though the kid's like a club boxer or whatever, and he's known throughout the region.
Yeah.
But Kaizu knocks him out, so he just doesn't even. It's just ridiculous. Next scene, and I'm skipping a few maybe, but next scene, Kaizu's going off to Tokyo with his hostess girl, who frankly was hotter with the girl with sleeping pills, so no one cares, including the viewers.
Oh my God, Mitsuki!
What? That's what this anime is, though. You
oh
have
my
to
God.
Listen, no, listen. Listen, you have to be like that, because this anime, that's what this anime is. It's like, it's not a girl anime at all. I mean, he's basically using the women, right?
Mm-hmm.
And throwing them away like worn-out power tools, you know? And that's it. So you can't be like, oh my God, no, that you can't watch the anime if you're gonna be like that. She wasn't as hot. He doesn't give a shit. He got paid. Her suicide attempt was worth 7 grand to him. He doesn't care that she tried to kill herself. He's moving to Tokyo with his hot blonde hostess bitch, and in the process tells his family that he wants nothing to do with them ever again. And so he leaves.
Basically. And I'm sorry to make editing, but basically this anime is fuck you and the horse you rode in on.
Fuck you. The world revolves around me. I'm Kaizu and I'm a badass.
All right. Okay.
And now the episode is now a mature episode.
Well, you can just censor that.
Can I?
Yeah.
All right. I'll just censor it.
You just gotta go, over it.
So anyway, he gets to Tokyo and he joins the... I'm trying to think of some of the other things that happens in this anime that are just absurd. He joins the... I'll list them off. He joins a tennis club and sleeps with one of the girls right off the bat. And, you know, later on, he ends up sleeping with one of the younger girls and tells the older lady that she's just, like, basically like a worn-out shoe. So, sort of, not in those exact words. But at the same time, he's basically being a waiter slash bouncer at a nightclub in Roppongi. So he has girls...
Oh, Roppongi.
So he has just drunk girls all over him, right?
Yeah.
And so the hostess chick, who they're living together, is pissed because he's never at home. And... You know, she's hot, but he's cheating on her anyway, because he just doesn't give a shit. And so,
She's like, where are you? You're always out on a... There's another woman, isn't there? And he's like, you know what? This is over. We're done with. You know?
He's like, yep, there is another one.
Yep.
Peace.
Pretty much. And so he's walking out to leave her. And she's like, no! That's not how this is going to happen. So she picks up, like, a fruit knife and is going to stab him with it. But instead, he just whacks it out of her hand, pushes her down onto the sofa, and takes her. And she's like, I'll do whatever you want. Just don't stop. That's basically literally what happens. As quick as that. Later on, she buys him a car because he deserves one. And it's a Mercedes.
Oh, my God.
And she... He's riding in the car with the second tennis club girl, the really young girl.
Okay.
This anime is so chauvinist. They actually define what you call girls in college depending on what year they are. First years are snacks. Second years are like prime ribs or something. Third years are old ladies. And fourth years, you just don't want to touch that. And that's basically like what they say. Literally, that's verbatim. It's a girl that says that, though, so it's okay. But he's driving on the highway with her, with the young girl. She's a first year, so she's a snack. And they show this flashback of the hostess girl talking to him in the car, and she's in the passenger seat, and she's like, "I'll be your slave. I'll do whatever you want. Just don't let another girl sit in this seat ever, and I'll be your slave forever." And he's like thinking about her saying that. And then they fade out the memory, the flashback, and there's the young girl sitting in the seat. He just doesn't give a shit. Unbelievable.
So this guy wins the award for the asshole of the year of anime.
And he nails the first year too.
In the car?
No, in a bed. And all the sex takes place in beds or on sofas or whatever. Whatever. So, I don't know. What else do I talk about? That's the plot. Kazu belongs in the Church of Mitsugi, but not... But he wouldn't be, like, a hero or anything.
He's like the drunk uncle that comes to your family reunions where you're like, you're drunk and funny, but then you're like, oh, that's sad. You're an alcoholic.
What do you eat? You don't care. What do you eat? You don't give a shit. And so, there is no music in this anime that I can recall. It's not memorable at all. The animation's not good, but it doesn't really need to be because it's not really that kind of a show.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was entertained by it. I almost wish there had been more because I just wanted to see this guy become like the the Prime Minister of Japan. Of course, well, I shouldn't make fun of the Prime Minister of Japan, but it does change every like 2 months, right? So he would probably just sleep with some young girl and get caught and become, you know, a bum.
Or everyone would be like, yeah.
But
go Reichi.
It is based off a manga that I'm sensing is probably the same length considering it's only 222 pages. Or it's 6 tankobon, which maybe I guess is volumes. But yeah, I guess it's not really worth watching. I just told you the whole story, but it is entertaining because holy shit, this guy's just over the top. You know,
but there is boobies and sex, so
yes,
it's definitely
it.
A
yes. The genres are defined as drama, erotica, and romance, with the objectionable content of pornography.
Yeah.
So it's not a hentai, but it sure is close. If even one of those sex scenes had actually been about like, you know, showing the sex,
it's basically like a Showtime or HBO.
Yeah,
they show the sex and they show the titties, but they don't show anything.
The important thing isn't actually looking at the sex; it's the fact that he's having sex with all these girls and disregarding other girls that he's quote unquote developed a bond with. You know, some girl loves him; he doesn't love her because he's banging this hostess. You know, he's supposed to love the hostess; she loves him, but he's not banging the tennis club girl. He doesn't care about the hostess.
You think one of these girls would be like, so how many girlfriends have you had? I mean, I guess this guy would just lie and be like, you're my one and only baby.
He's basically a sociopath or something. Is that the right...
There is a correct, like, mentally... Yeah.
He's a sociopath, so something's going on. I'm going to give it 2.5. 2.5 worn-out women out of 5. What do you want me to say? That's what this anime is about.
Oh, Mitsugi.
And then in the end, he's like, He's like, I have this blue flame in my heart, and I'm Keanu Reeves. And as long as it burns, I'm going to continue. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
That means he's going to keep banging chicks.
He does sleep with probably at least 6 different girls in the show, and the hostess like 4 times. So, he gets around. He does.
All right.
So entertaining. Those are, I sort of like watching the short shows.
Yeah, they're fun.
They're a nice filler to fill in the time it takes for a show to finish, for a show from the current season to finish airing. Which, by the way, next week will probably be an episode on the summer lineup. Mitsugi is like 85 episodes behind on his anime viewing because Diablo 3 came out.
Yeah.
I completely blame Diablo 3, even though I haven't played that recently either.
Well, you're quitting work this next Friday, so you'll have lots of time.
I'm just going to wake up, sit on the couch, watch anime until it's all gone, and then I'll start packing and stuff.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, those of you who joined us live on the Ustream. It was great to chat with you. We hope you enjoyed this 137th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. You can find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes. Don't forget to rate us if you haven't already. So finding people who are like, I've been listening to you for 2 years and I just rated you. And I'm like, why did it take you so long? Facebook.com/AnimeAddictsAnonymousPodcast. If you give us a like there, you can be subscribed to all of our updates. Our new YouTube channel, youtube.com/user/theAAApodcast. And as I mentioned before, broadcasting live every Sunday night, 8 p.m. EST on ustream.tv/channel/anime-addicts-anonymous-podcast. But if you can remember AAApodcast.com, we have conveniently linked to everything you could possibly need right there. Taking us out tonight is going to be the song Zootopia With You from the anime Hayori Nyaruko-san by the artist Ram. So,
yay, more Moe music.
Have a great one, everyone.